Shall we turn this morning to Acts chapter 13, verse 20 through 23? Let me read this and then just have a moment of prayer. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, underline that, removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, King David, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and illuminate our hearts to the teaching of your word. That God, that we would understand that you are the God that raises up and you're the God that brings down. And that, Lord, it's all according to your will. And that we have a choice today to live according to your will or live contrary to your will. And that decision will determine the decision that, God, you make within our lives. So, Father, give us the strength to do your will. God, give us the fortitude and the strength and the wisdom to know your will. And may we be strong and courageous to be effective in that which you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the contrast between the life of David and the life of King Saul. Like to look at really a father's heart and the importance of really what it means to be a father after really the heart of God. Both of these men failed as fathers. Both of these men were horrible examples when it came to really living their life as fathers within the home. David's home was not a good home. He did not have the strength nor the ability to deal with issues within his own home. Oh, he was a great king and he was a great ruler. He was a great psalmist and he was a great poet. He was a great military man, but he was a horrible father. And the Bible tells us in the very end of his life that he even confessed to this, in my own home, it was not right before God. And there are times that we don't always do what we ought to do. And I think the real issue is that it's either an image or a relationship that we're going to go after within our life. If it is an image, then I'm never going to be home and never going to build a relationship with my children. And so many men are into the image rather than a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think there's a tremendous difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Father's Day is we do it, kind of built around the barbecue, kind of a time to get the family together, but really not around dad, around food. Now think about it. You don't sit around and talk about dad. You talk about food, and it's a wonderful time just having a great time. But the kids usually hang out with mom, and dad takes a walk, or dad lays in front of the television, or dad does something on the phone. But when it comes to relationship, I think Mother's Day is really where it's at. Mothers have a unique ability just to love their kids. They seem to be home. They want to pour their lives into their children. Fathers are out building a life, building a kingdom, seeking to get materialistic things and wanting to be a blessing in all the wrong areas of life. And so when it comes to Mother's Day, boy, there's flowers, there's food. It's centered around mom. Let's take mom out to dinner. Let's take mom out to this. And it's a wonderful thing. When it's Father's Day, my wife goes traveling. What can I say? You know, I'm kind of stuck here. But we have an understanding. But when I really look at it over the years, it's always been Mother's Day has been a time where you kind of sit around and kind of think about the times of the family. Dad isn't really that way. He's always busy doing other things, and image is more important to him. And so within the fellowship here, men love image. Women love relationship. Just take a guy to the mall. He wants to get out. He wants to get out, but women, they love to meander. And women will do everything they can to get a man into the mall. And a guy will do everything he can never to go to the mall. And yet the guy is not wise enough and smart enough to realize that really the wife just wants to spend time with him. He would save him a lot of damage if he would just say, you know, I really don't want to go to the mall, but I'll take a walk around the block with you. You can't charge anything. That's a wonderful thing there. But the problem is we don't go to the mall and we don't hold their hands and we don't take the walks and we don't spend the time and we think that we can buy the flowers and we can buy the dinners and we can do the things, but to sit next to somebody and to hold someone's hand and to do that is just kind of not where it's at. Either they don't walk fast enough or they walk too fast or we're too busy and they want to squeeze our hand and we want to let go of our hands and we're just too independent. And so when it comes to Father's Day, it just always isn't what it meant out to be. I think one of the great things I remember so vividly about sports is you can raise a son and you can build a son and you can have a great time with your son. But when he finally goes over the football into football and runs into the get a touchdown, he turns around and he says, what? Hi, Mom. What is that? I don't understand that. And when the kids are going through difficult times, they call Mom, but when they need money, they call Dad. And though I have a wonderful relationship with my son, and he wants to know my mind and wants to know how I operate and if I should buy this house or do this, and Dad, help me when it comes to, I'm going through a tough time with my wife, I think I'll talk to Mom. And so I've had to ponder some things and look at things and come to realize that maybe there's time to change. And maybe towards the very end of my life, image is really not what it's all out to be. Maybe really relationship is what I should have listened to all my life. Maybe the holding the hands or the walk around the block or maybe just setting out and having a cup of coffee or turning off the television and having a nice dinner is really where it's at. Maybe it's just spending time with the kids and throwing away the cell phone or taking off the beeper for a few moments and sitting down and asking the son, the daughter, so tell me how you're doing with the Lord. Or maybe it's just time for the fathers to get together and pray over their families and take a moment and to be the spiritual leaders God's called them to be. But I'm afraid that probably is not going to happen. And the reason why is because phones and beepers and sports and image and cars and friends are more important than the very things that God has given to us. And it says here in our text that Saul was made king and he was a foot taller than everyone else. He was a handsome man and on the outward they wanted a king. And the reason why they wanted a king is really a tragic story. It was because Samuel, the greatest of all prophets, was not able to keep his own children in line. It's interesting to me. Here was a man who was raised in the temple, one who came, you remember, from the life of Hannah. And there Hannah dedicated him into the temple to Eli. And there as he was living with Eli in the temple, it was there that God woke him up in the middle of the night. And it says of Samuel that he ran to Eli and said, what do you want? And Eli said, I did not wake you up. He said, well, someone woke me up. And Eli said, I didn't wake you up. And so Samuel went back to bed, Samuel being just a little boy. He was woken up again and he came to Eli and said, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't wake you up. You go back to sleep. It's getting late. I want to get some sleep. And Samuel was woken up a third time and he came to Eli and Eli thought, maybe God is trying to speak to him. So he said to Samuel, next time God wakes you up, son, say, yes, Lord, what do you want to say? And so God woke Samuel up a fourth time. And this time, this is what God said to him. Eli and his boys are not right before me. He has not disciplined his children the way he should. They have been an embarrassment to me in my ministry. And therefore, I will take Eli's two sons out. And it was during a time where the candle was out in the temple and the darkness was there and the revelation of God was not speaking, but God had found a man. God had found a man who really loved him. His name was Samuel. He said he let none of these words fall to the ground, and God was speaking to Samuel, and God was beginning to tell Samuel things that he had not told anybody else, and he was beginning to lay the vision out that he was God's man, and God was going to remove the two boys that were not right before him. But the tragic thing is they came to Samuel, the people, and they said, listen, you are old and ready to retire, and your two boys, they're not right before God, and they're not walking with God, therefore we want a king. And so Samuel had a little bit of blame to do with not keeping his family together, forcing the children of Israel to look outside of the covenant of God. And so they chose a man. And Samuel said that this man, whoever you choose, is going to hurt you. He's going to take your children. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to make them concubines. He's going to take your men. He's going to make them soldiers. He's going to take your fields, and he's going to take your food, and you're going to have to do that. And he said, but God, he was never going to do that. He has always given to you and been faithful in your life. And there's the paradox. Here's a God who wants to give, and here's a man who wants to take. And that's all you need to know about the story. And it's been that way since the very beginning of time. Man takes and God gives. No matter how good the man is, he takes, but God always gives. You put a man in position, put a woman in position, they take. You put God in charge and he gives. He gave us his only begotten son. And Samuel said, the day that you desire a man to rule over you, you're going to have problems. But they chose Saul. And God knew that there were things not right in his heart, but the people loved him and the people worshiped him. And they said, long live the king. And God said, I need to try this man. And so he brought Samuel once again in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And you don't need to turn there, but very simply, he just said to Samuel, tell this man Saul not to do anything till you get there. And for him to wait 7 days before he does anything. And it was during the time that the war was taking place. The Philistines were beginning to grow. They had 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and they were coming after Jonathan. And it was a difficult time in the life of Israel, and Saul had just become king. But Samuel told him, don't move. Don't do anything. You just set. And all of a sudden, Samuel disappears, and Saul's there with all this authority and all this ability, and the test was now going to be made. And God knew it. And God wanted to bring out who this man really was and what he was really about. And all of a sudden, at the end of 7 days, Saul got tired of waiting. He said, bring me a sacrifice, and I want to offer it. And so he killed and filleted the animal and made the sacrifice. And all of a sudden, the moment he set that thing on fire, guess who showed up? Samuel. And Samuel says, what is that that I smell? What are you doing? He said, well, I thought that I would sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel said, don't you know that you have been very foolish? That only the priest can sacrifice, and you are a king. And kings are not to be priests, and priests are to be priests and prophets, but a king is to be a king, and you have violated God. And it says of Saul that he didn't repent. And it says of Samuel that because of this, God is looking for a man. God is searching for a man who will be obedient to his will because Saul was independent. He was not dependent upon God. He was independent. He was passionate to fulfill his own desire. Saul was a man after his own heart. And God was looking for a man who'd be after his own heart. And Samuel said, why did you do this? Why could you not wait? Why could you not trust the Lord? Why did you have to take things into your own hands? And Saul said to Samuel, because you were late. And we find the heart beginning to come out. He was blaming everyone else besides himself. And because the people were beginning to go astray and they were hiding in the caves and they were beginning to become scattered. And I thought that this would hold them together. And Samuel said, who are you to think when God has spoken the word of the Lord? When I look at today, men within our lives, we realize that we think, but we don't act. And we respond, but we don't really respond sometimes in the will of God. And the will of God in a man's life is the most important thing of all life. And so image sometimes replaces God's will within our life. To be the servants, to be the ones He desires. Samuel walked away and said, you know, your kingdom is going to be taken from you. And then we read in chapter 15 that an interesting thing happened, that God said, let's give Saul one more chance. And God came to Samuel and said, now go back and tell this king to go out and kill Amalek. And you remember, according to Exodus, that Amalek was the people that came behind and began to pick off the children of Israel as they were coming out of Israel, Egypt. And they were a wicked people, and God said, I want you to kill their animals and kill them and annihilate them and get rid of the Amalekites because they are a symbol of the flesh. And Saul went out and did what he had to do, and as he was coming back, Samuel met him, and Samuel looked at him, and Saul looked at him and said, I have done all that the Lord has told me to do. And Samuel, looking, said, then why do I hear that sheep in the background? And who is that man? And Saul looked at Samuel and said, that man is King Agag. I wanted to bring him back. And why are these sheep here? Because I wanted to bring the very best back to sacrifice unto the Lord. And Samuel looked at him and said, why have you rebelled against God? And why have you taken this thing into your own hands? Is sacrifice more important than obedience? Saul, don't you know that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft? Why have you chosen not to obey the voice of the Lord in your life? And the tragic thing happens is that he says, the people made me do it. And Samuel said, bring that king here. And Samuel took a sword and pierced the king and killed the king. And Samuel looked at Saul and said, your kingdom has now been taken away from you. Because God has found a man who has a heart after him. And as he walked away, Saul reached out and grabbed the hem of the garment and ripped Samuel's garment. And Samuel turned around and says, so has God ripped the kingdom from your hand. You see, God knew what was inside of a man. God knew what was inside of that man, that it was independence. It was self-centeredness. It was rebellion against the command of God. And God is still looking for men today that will serve Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, that they will be obedient. It says of David that he served his generation in the will of God. And so God placed His hand upon a man named David. He wasn't a perfect man, but he had a heart after God. He didn't have a perfect marriage and didn't have a perfect family, but he did have a heart after God. And you see, Saul was never able to repent. He felt remorse, but he was unable to repent. And it says here that David would do the will of God. And that's what God's looking for today. Not that the image becomes important. Not that things become important. But the will of God becomes important. And the will of God for our lives as men is that we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to give of ourselves. That we are to set the example, that we are to walk into the homes and into the business places, and we are to be the men who are willing to stay in the will of God and do the will of God and hold up holy hands and begin to do the things and not just think of ourselves. But it's difficult in the life we live, because for a man, image is everything. How I'm viewed and how I handle myself and how I create this situation, and oftentimes because of image, and listen to me very carefully, image will destroy relationships every single time. It's the image of the business. What about the home? Home comes second. It's about the car that I drive, and so we go in debt, but we look good. It's about the stereo that I have, and so I'm listening or about the entertainment that I have in my home, and so everything is based about image. And when it comes to relationship, it's like God strips away image. He says all that a man is who he is naked. And when image becomes more important than the will of God, then society's gone. The moral fabric, and they say that when women become immoral, it's just the end of a generation. Because the last thing that goes within a generation is women. Women are the backbone, the fiber, the frame that holds men together, it seems like. And when we look around today and we see women falling apart, we see men falling apart, we're wondering, what in the world are we going to do? And it's all about the will of God. And when I look at the Bible, I realize that image can be very simply even a ministry. It says of Samuel, his own two kids did not serve God. They were taking bribes and they were taking money, and it angered God because they were not setting the example for the body of Christ. You say, well, that's Samuel's boys, but I can take you there to Leviticus chapter 10 and I can show you Aaron's boys. And there God ordained Moses and placed the right hand and anointed their ears and their hands and their feet. And we find one day that Aaron's two boys, Nadab and Abihu, that they were smitten by God, and because they were drunk before the presence of God, and God took them. And God said to Aaron, don't you dare weep, because if you weep, then my people are going to realize that I'm wrong and you're right. And Aaron, I want you to know that I'm right and you're wrong. You did not hold your children together because image was more important than relationship. Samuel, you had a tremendous image as a great prophet, but you did not hold your family together because relationship was more important than what was going on. And we come and we realize once again that David, his own son, Absalom. David, you're a wonderful leader and you're a wonderful man and you've conquered more things and you've given us more psalms. But when your own son raped your own daughter, you didn't do anything. And because you didn't do anything, Absalom, your favorite boy, did and murdered his own brother. And you still wouldn't do anything, David. And finally, all of a sudden, when Absalom was killed, you said, oh, Absalom, I love you, my son, I love you. And Joab had to come to you and say, enough's enough, David. You need to move on with your life. And when I look at this, I begin to realize, oh, Lord, what is image? What is it if all of a sudden we have everything we want? Children's ministries and churches and buildings and radio stations, but our own kids aren't walking with God. And I suggest to you that this Father's Day, it might just be a wonderful thing to turn off the TV. What am I going to do? Talk? What are we going to talk about? Life? Amen. We're too insecure. What am I going to say? Just sat there. Well, we got done eating. How can we go? No. This is kind of weird. I got to do something. No. You see, the doing, going, busyness, that's all image. Relationship is where you sit down and ask your son and ask your daughter, so how are you doing? Tell me about yourself. Will you look over to your wife and give her a wink in Utah? Will you realize more than ever before, thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the house, the cars, the business, the trade, the skills, the strength. But you know something? I think it's time to hold hands. I think it's time to sit down and just enjoy the family. Well, I'm too busy, Steve. Well, then you're too busy to really love your family the way God wants you to. Be an entrepreneur. Build all that you can. Have all that you can. But understand that if God took it all away, you're fine. Because your relationship with Him and your relationship with your family is what it's all about. You see, moms do it well. Dads don't. And maybe older now in my life, I have the guts to preach this way. I wish early in my life, image was not important, but it was. When you're a grandpa, everything changes. When I was young, Arlie told me she was born in 1970 or something like that. I was graduating from high school in 1968. Can't believe how old I'm getting. But when I was young, my wife is young, and our children were there, everything was about image. How do people view the church and my teaching and how I'm doing and what Chuck thinks. And but Gail was home with the kids. She held things together. When I came to this time in my life and having a grandson, I realized that the things that I wouldn't let my own children do, my grandson can do. He can make a mess. It's cute. He can throw things in the house. That's neat. He can drag me out and make me walk. That's cool. And something about this time around, the second time, it's all about him. The first time, it was all about me. My life, my ministry, what I had to do. Kids were a blessing. I had to take the family. Not this time. When he comes over, little Anthony, my daughter, it's all about them. They can come anytime. They can help themselves. It's all about family. Father, I pray that you would take us and that you would remind us that, God, that you bring us into a covenant with you. That, Lord, that as we look upon your heart, that you will always try the hearts of man. Lord, you took David, and God, you anointed him king. And so many here believe that when you anointed him king, he became king. But that's not true. He became a king in your eyes. But Lord, 32 years after he was anointed in 1 Samuel 16, he became a king publicly. And for the next 32 years, he was chased. God, you molded him and made him and built character within his life. And Lord, he became the sweet psalmist. Became a man who eventually became a majestic king. But it was in the 32 years of being chased that you developed his manhood. Lord, you developed Moses and made him a man. But God, it was during the wilderness experience that you made his manhood, where you stripped him and took away the image of him being a great prince. And Lord, you brought him to the point that he said, "Who am I?" And God, you said, "I will go with you." Lord, you took Joseph away from the boys. And Lord, you placed him in prison for 13 years. And there you made him a man. And that God, one day he stepped out of prison and ran the world. Well, Lord, you have strange ways of taking your men into the deserts. You took Paul into the Arabian desert. You took Philip away from his ministry into the desert to minister to one Ethiopian man. Lord, you took your own son and drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. Those are strange ways. But those are the only ways that we get rid of image. And Lord, we have been made in the image of you. And that, Lord, we are to love you with all of our hearts. And Lord, you want to bless. And you want to give us the things that we desire and need. But Lord, you need to be the preeminent one within our life. So God, build relationship this year. Help us, Lord, to have a wonderful day today with our families. Help the TVs to be off if we need to. Help us, Lord, to sit around and talk. And help us, Lord, to ponder what it is to be a father. To have responsibility, to take a privilege, and, Lord, to invest our lives into them that maybe one day that they will turn around and say to us, "I am your son, and I want to be a father, And I want to love my wife the way that you have loved your wife. Lord, that will only come through the relationship they see in home. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?